How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebro, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
That's not going to stop me from going down to the Pentagon and praying for our men and women. I just won't be participating in their formal function.
The idea that if we just be nice, we can build bridges and break down barriers is a Western notion that's based on an ignorance of what the vast majority of people in Islamic countries are taught.
Religious freedom and pluralism necessarily involve discussing, questioning, and even criticizing each other's religions or beliefs.
We need to hear from the pulpit that Christ saved us completely. He's not there to woo us. He's not there to show us how pretty he is. He's done the saving.
I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer, and I love Issues Etc.
Well, everybody was celebrating it yesterday, Mother's Day. All different manner of celebrations. Hard to get a table at a restaurant on that weekend. The movies are always full. Everybody's barbecuing in the backyard. It's a very American thing to do. Motherhood is greatly prized. At least we say we greatly prize motherhood in America. Sometimes you would wonder, given our culture, but we say we do. We even have Betty White hosting Saturday Night Live. I don't know if she's anybody's mother, but she's very maternal in her demeanor. She wasn't so much on Saturday Night, but that's that program. And everybody is all about mom. Even at church, they're all about mom on Mother's Day, since it always falls on a Sunday. Kids that have not darkened the door of your congregation will show up, maybe not even on Easter or Christmas, but on Mother's Day, mom wants them in church. They all show up in church. And then the obligatory dinner afterwards. Well, as usual, we try and get out ahead of these things. On Friday, we had a pre-recorded roundtable of mothers talking about the joys and challenges of motherhood, and we thought it would be great, since that was pre-recorded and we were unable to take questions and comments from real mothers in real time, thought it would be nice to bookend it on this Monday, May the 10th, with another roundtable of the same mothers joining us again, this time live in the studio and on the phone, so that we could take your questions and comments on the joys and challenges of motherhood. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Now, we want to hear from you this hour about the challenges and joys of motherhood. Our call-in number live this Monday afternoon, the 10th of May, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter us at issuesetc, or post your question or comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And we're going to give away two copies of the book, The Mommy Promises, to listeners with the best questions or comments during this hour. Joining us here in the studio for our Mother's Roundtable, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, a married mother of three in St. Louis, senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, great to be here.
Also here in studio, Rebecca Curtis. She's a pastor's wife and mother of five children in Warden, Illinois. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi again.
And on the phone, Sandra Astapowicz. She's a single mother of an eight-year-old son in Loveland, Colorado, conference coordinator of the Lutheran Youth Organization Higher Things. Sandra, welcome back.
Thank you.
Maybe it's just fitting to ask how you guys spent your Mother's Day. Let's start with you, Pam. How was your spent?
Well, we went to church. My daughter and my husband and my mother and I, and we had a lovely day. I actually wanted to cook on Mother's Day, so I cooked a meal and tried a new recipe, and my husband cleaned my car from top to bottom, and I have a nice clean car now, and that was a wonderful gift, and there was a little spa gift card from the whole family, so
that's
pretty nice.
Very nice. How long have you guys been married?
I think 24 years.
Yeah, you can tell. 24 years, the car gets cleaned out. That's the kind of Mother's Day gift that really lasts there. Rebecca, how was your Mother's Day spent?
Well, our middle kid turned 4, so we had her party. And that was a good time.
That is very nice. That's a great way to spend a Mother's Day.
It was wonderful.
All right. And Sandra?
Well, after church, I wasn't feeling so hot after a quick weekend trip I had to make earlier this weekend, and came home and lay down and took a nap. My son, being a wonderful son and very strange, decided that he was going to clean the toilets for me, and so he did that. And then he went out and cleared out and played while I straightened up his cleaning the toilets. And when I went to go out and find him around supper time so we could have, you know, something somewhat special for Mother's Day, I found him at the neighbor's house where he had just kind of invited himself over for their Mother's Day celebration because they were grilling on the porch where he had 4 hot dogs and 2 Dr. Peppers with them.
That's very interesting. Like, he yeah, had a great Mother's
Day. I'm sure
they
have a great impression of me as a mother now.
Oh, my goodness. All different Mother's Days. This is the message from one of our listeners that I wanted to start with. And it comes from Edie in Tennessee. Edie says, "Motherhood often exposes the worst in me. I can't hide my sin and struggles from the little people who are with me all day, day in, day out. It is often the area of my greatest sin. Despite my best efforts, I can still be impatient, unkind, and often quick-tempered. I must live in repentance with them and teach them that the intimacy of prolonged togetherness," I like that term, intimacy of prolonged togetherness, "exposes us all as sinners who are in great need of grace. I think that they are beginning to understand why I so yearn for the Lord's Supper every week." Your thoughts there, Pam?
Wow. I could have written those same words, I think, so often. You know, as I lay in bed at night after the day, oh, why did I say it that way? Why didn't I respond? Why did I not tune in as my child was talking to me? Why did I get so angry? All the kinds of things that flood your mind. What a wonderful thing that we can repent to our Heavenly Father and to our children and receive forgiveness and also model a life of repentance and forgiveness from God. Not always easy to do. Very hard for me to look a child in the face and say, "I messed up. I'm so sorry."
But old school parenting would dictate you'd never do that.
That's right. Never let them see a sweat. Never let them see a never admit wrong.
I remember my mom once saying to you, "Cannot admit that you are wrong. They will take over."
Yeah, and I think you have to. Otherwise, you're not real with them. What kind of relationship do you have? It's not very honest then, is it? And kids are very sharp in pointing out sin. They see it before I do, and they tell me. Now, we have to talk about that. I can't pretend that I wasn't the sinner that I am.
Rebecca, what's your maternal policy on this kind of thing? I mean, my kids started pointing out my flaws and errors and sins by the time they could talk. They saw Dad, "You do it, Dad. I saw you do it. I heard you say it." What's your maternal policy there?
That is the worst, when you realize that the terrible thing your kid is doing, they learn from you. And the only solution to that is that they also learn to repent from you, that there are times when you do have to ask the forgiveness of even a very young child. "My goodness, I had to do it this morning." And it doesn't feel good, and you feel that you failed them because of whatever offense it was that you committed against them. But it has to be done, and they learn repentance and to ask for forgiveness from you just as they learn to sin from you.
Sandra, talk about that, if you would. Why is it important that we confess our sins even to our children?
Well, as the other two have said, it models the life of repentance and forgiveness. It's not a brushing it under the rug, or it's somehow okay if I do it, but you can't do it. Or when we screw up, that's just what you want to teach your children, to repent and ask for forgiveness when they sin, just like we do. And it's not fun. It's not pleasant. It's kind of humiliating to have to ask your child for forgiveness, but even worse is the child brought up not learning that.
Is it as much about teaching them to do it as it is about a real need to do that?
This is
life. Absolutely, yeah.
You have to do that, don't you?
It's living in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
That it's not all about laws and rules and obedience, but but forgiving one another because we have been forgiven. That's what we pray, at least, you know, Isaac and I pray every night with Luther's evening prayer, that we would be forgiven for all our sins where we have done wrong. And we only have that because of Christ. And that's the most important thing to be teaching our children.
This one comes from Jenny. I'll throw it at Rebecca here. It says, Jenny says, I've discovered one of the reasons it's so important to be well catechized myself. It's moms that hear the existential questions, the theological conundrums, overheard at the sandbox, driving in the car at 2 a.m. after a bad dream. More often than not, moms on call to answer questions like, why does God blank? Your thoughts about being a well catechized mom.
That's so true. You know, there's kind of a sense in which mothers are expected to say pretty often, well, wait till dad gets home. And you just can't live that way. Dad just doesn't come home enough for that. I have too many problems and questions come up in my day to wait for him to handle everything. And also, you know, when you do that, mom really kind of loses her position as an authority figure also, which she is, to the children. And so you've got to be able to field those kind of things. And, of course, there are times when you can say, well, I mean, frankly, dad does know that better than I do. But you also have to be prepared to handle those things in a way that's satisfactory to them so that they don't come to the conclusion, well, nobody knows anything. You have to be able to model that and to demonstrate how those things are important for every Christian to know.
I wonder how much just really, really bad theology is inculcated into the minds of children by mothers who mean well but don't know their Bible very well. I can only think of, this dates me all the way back to that old sitcom Maude, where she would always remind her kids and her husband that God was going to get them for that. Just terrible, terrible theology. We'll be right back with our Mother's Roundtable on this Monday afternoon, May the 10th. Love is unconditional. With all my heart and all my soul, I want to let you know that I thank you and I love you. And I will never place anyone.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is a devotional resource called Stark's Prayer Book. You'll find prayers for patience, strength, sickness, thanksgiving, dying, and more in Stark's Prayer Book. This devotional resource costs $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Stark's Prayer Book.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Thank you, Mommy, for every day. You keep me warm and you keep me safe.
Welcome back. We're talking about the challenges and joys of motherhood on this Monday after Mother's Day. It's Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our roundtable of mothers, some here in studio, one on the phone, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Rebecca Curtis and Sandra Ostapowicz. Now, listeners with the best questions or comments will receive the book, Mommy Promises. Our email address here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Leave a question or a comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, or give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Jean in Edwardsville writes this, I don't like Mother's Day. Although I am blessed by my surviving children and their children, the death of my 18-year-old son makes all family holidays and special events difficult. Mother's Day reminds me that our family is broken. The trauma of death cannot be forgotten. The void left behind is huge, and it cannot be filled. And even though I know my son rests in the arms of his Savior and awaits, as we all do, the resurrection of all flesh, the separation is too great for my mother's heart. I move forward, however, because that's what I'm called to do. I hold on with white knuckles to our Lord's promise of the ultimate Mother's Day, when the separation of death is gone forever. Parental grief is worse than you can imagine. A friend who recently buried her son apologized. She said, when your son died, I knew it was bad. I just didn't know it was this bad. Let's talk a little bit about that, Pam.
Well, I can't imagine what it would be to know one of my children for 18 years, for a couple of years. I've not been through that. I've had a miscarriage, but I didn't know that child. And even that grief, when we lose someone through death, that sorrow goes with us. We live in a broken world. We know why there is death. And yet, this longing to be with them and the promise of God and heaven and the reuniting is something we can look forward to with joy. But I think about something that Dr. Just taught me when I was a student in his class, and I think he said it many times on this show, that at the Lord's Supper, we gather with the whole company of heaven. We say that with the angels, the archangels, and the whole company of heaven. Her son, my unknown child that miscarried, all these children are gathered there. They're part of the company of heaven. And when we kneel at the Lord's Supper, we are gathered with them, and we're closer to them at that moment than any other time. And we dine with them and with our Lord. And that brings me a lot of comfort with all the people in my life that God has called home. And yes, we live with sorrow amidst joy in this sinful world. I think there are a lot of things like that quite a picture, white-knuckled, holding on to the promises of God.
I mean, I think about these things as a father. But the other kids, and you see this often when there's death in the family, the kids say, they want the parents to move on.
Yeah.
The parents feel this differently, mm-hmm. and experience this differently than everyone else does. For them, it's a loss of you know, they have this child from birth and they remember mm-hmm. all of this. And it, often the mom or the dad might be encouraged by these, you know, the rest of the family. Can we move on? Why are you still so sad about this? What would you counsel that they say? Instead of, when is mom going to get over this kind of thing?
Wow. I think I'd encourage him not to say that, but to love her and join in remembering that person, that sibling, that child, and remembering the good things. I know for me, my father died a couple years ago, and my grief causes me to remember things. Something happens, and that's what happens with her, I'm sure. You see something on TV, you read something, or something happens around the table, and you think, he would have liked that. Oh, he would have said this, or he would have laughed at that. It's okay to talk about those things and to remember the good and the bad. They were a real person. They're part of our family. They're part of our family history. And for me, there's a great comfort in that, when we can all go, yeah, Grandpa would have. Mm-hmm. Grandpa would have loved that, or that was his favorite bird, or he would have loved this meal, or he wouldn't have liked that news story, or whatever.
So don't avoid the grief. Mm-mm. Don't act like they never were there.
No.
especially on Mother's Day. I think it's important to remember that mother is still a mother to that child, even though the child's not with us. Thank God on this earth where there's sin and suffering and pain, and that pain will not go away completely this side of the cross. But like she said, it's that white-knuckled clinging to the promises of God. That's faith right there.
Yes.
That clinging, because there's no other hope aside from the promises of God. So that's what we cling to, and that's what we have been given. Faith gives us the ability to cling to that, because Mary lost her son as well. Mm-hmm. She understands that pain. Of course, her son didn't stay dead very long, but she did see him suffer, and she did understand that pain. And she also clung to the promises of God throughout her life. She's a great example of faith and motherhood in that. But what's important to remember for mothers who have lost their children, or for anyone who's suffering, someone who's lost their mother on Mother's Day, that this is not the end of things. This is temporary. As bad as it is, this is not the end.
Well, and I was thinking the other part of it is, as much as she misses and loves that child who's died, that's a picture of her love for the ones that are still alive. And they're seeing it, you know, if they were the one that was gone, this would be for them too. There's something wonderful to see how deep and far-reaching a mother's love is. And they can rejoice in that. She has that for them as well.
And God always loves all of them more than we do, which is kind of hard to imagine. Kathy's listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on what they were saying when they were talking about being well catechized as a mother. I know for myself, this is one of the reasons that I listen to Issues, etc., is because I have a mother who shared with me the importance of Christ's death and resurrection. But it really didn't go a whole lot further than that. She struggled with depression, and there was a whole lot of other issues. And she never had good teaching. And this is what has been, I guess, my main reason for being so hungry for the truth and wanting to know the truth from error, so that way it can be a comfort to me, but also to my children. So they don't have to kind of flounder around in the darkness of this world, being tossed about by every wind. It's just critical. So you can deal with life in some sort of a functioning manner that Christ would have us, and not always be struggling so much. Not that we don't have struggles. I have a lot of struggles. I have a son with special needs. I have two other children. I've been married 24 years, but I mean, to know the truth will set you free, and there's just nothing that in this world that is more valuable.
Your response, Rebecca.
It's funny how often a child will have a question that sounds really difficult, and I think, first of all, what is a five-year-old doing asking this question? And I panic for a minute, and then I think, wait, what do I have in the catechism that addresses this? And I've always got that to go back to. That's my bag of tricks for dealing with the kids. And when I start from there, rather than from beginning with all the complicated factors that the question brings up in my messed up mind, I remember this kid's only five. I'm still smarter than he is. And when you start from something so reliable as Scripture and so reliable as the Catechism, which is just Scripture distilled into nice little pellets for dispensing to five-year-olds, that makes it so much easier. And when you have those things at your disposal, you know, that's how I get through those tricky questions and the things where I think, I'm an idiot. I'm not qualified to explain life to these kids, which I'm not, but God is, and he gives us those answers.
That's right.
It's interesting you say that, because that's my philosophy as a pastor. I mean, it was from about year two of my pastoral ministry, which was, okay, I guess I'm just going to have to fall back on the catechism. And actually, it turned out to be really, really useful. If you start there, it's a great place to start.
That's
and
right.
it never steers you wrong. And usually the answer you're looking for, believe it or not, I mean, it's amazing, the genius of that, the answer you're looking for, that they're asking about, is actually in there. It's just amazing. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with our Mother's Roundtable. It's Monday afternoon, May the 10th. We've got a lot more questions and comments to get to. We won't get to all of them, but we'll do our very best to get to as many as we possibly can. Best questions or comments on this Monday afternoon, we will give to those who ask them, either by telephone, 1-877-623-6943, or email talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter @issuesetc, or left at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We got two copies of The Mommy Promises to give away by Julie Stiglmeyer on this afternoon. 1-877-623-6943. Talkback@issuesetc.org or Twitter us @issuesetc. When we come back, we're going to get to Natalie in Cherubusco, Indiana, talking about the challenge, the daily challenge, moment to moment, not to give in to me and to my wants. Talk about that after this.
That I'm at. And maybe it's the weather, something like that. But mama, you've been on my mind.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Highlighting young pro-life leaders.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The Susan B. Anthony List recently honored five young women carrying on the pro-life legacy of Susan B. Anthony. One is college sophomore Amanda Haas. She is the president of the Liberty University Prayer Action Chapter of Concerned Women for America. With this group, Haas led a fundraiser on campus raising nearly $1,000 for Compass Care, a pregnancy crisis center that provides free ultrasounds and Christian counseling to women. She also helped put on the largest pro-life conference ever held on a college campus. Tune in next time for another Young Pro-Life Profile.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's our Mother's Roundtable on this Monday after Mother's Day, May the 10th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This one comes from Natalie in Cherubusco, Indiana. She writes, My greatest challenge is to daily, almost moment to moment, not give in to me and my wants. The overwhelming nature of the demands at times can be so stressful. The joys outweigh the challenges, though, by a long shot. The most precious moments I've had are quiet conversations in the car or at bedtime after prayers when our walk with Jesus is the focus. It is humbling to remember that such is the kingdom of God. These little ones whose faith at times seems larger than mountains, and yet I remember that God has placed them in my hands, if only for a moment, to lead them in faith and to be ready in this season to answer for the faith. I want your thoughts on that, Sandra.
Oh, gosh, that's something I struggle with all the time, particularly as a single mother, since I don't have a backup. I don't have someone else to give me a break. So I'm always on duty and always screwing up and always trying to think of these things and put my son first. It's very, very difficult. And the sacrifice of motherhood is just overwhelming. Not that I wouldn't choose it again, not that I chose it the first time, but that there's no way to understand the sacrifice that comes with being a mother until you are a mother. There's sacrifice in the lives of women that aren't mothers, but it's such a giving of yourself, that pouring out the lifeblood from your very veins that you would do for your child in need, not necessarily giving into every single want and desire, but that is such a struggle. That's going back to our first conversation today about repentance and forgiveness, mm-hmm. and asking for forgiveness from my son when I do put myself first. When I don't tend to his needs the way I should, when my angry tone makes him cry, or when, you know, all the things that I do that are just selfish, and all we've got with one another is confession and forgiveness and the gospel that we are forgiven in Christ.
Rebecca, you said something last time we talked, that the world has nothing but lies to tell us about motherhood. And the world says, you know, Calgon, take me away. The world says, you deserve to be in that big whirlpool tub every night with the candles lit around you and the big screen television at your feet and the kids safely tucked in bed, leaving you alone. What are your thoughts there as you reflect on trying to carve out a little Rebecca time, if there is such a thing in the Curtis household?
There's a character in the Charles Dickens novel Bleak House named Mrs. Jellyby. And she has a whole bunch of kids, and, you know, they're the standard Dickensian street urchins and waifs with grubby faces, because Mrs. Jellyby is so busy dealing with this obscure African tribe, and it's got some crazy name. It's probably, I think it's made up. I'm not great with African colonial history, but she's just obsessed with these poor people in Africa who so desperately need, you know, to be evangelized and, you know, to have their needs met and everything. And in the meantime, her children are totally uncared for. They are injured. They are dirty. They are unfed. But she is just so busy with this noble, noble ministry. And I think especially for Christians, that's such a dangerous trap, because caring for our kids is, well, you know, that's kind of a given. But there are so many other important things we can be doing too. And especially if I'm making use of my gifts, well, I must use my gifts. I'm so gifted. And in the meantime, our kids are there waiting. And they'll wait for a really long time because they want so much to be with us. And I don't deserve to use even my gifts. And most of the time at the end of the day, I don't deserve to sit in the bathtub either. Most of the time at the end of the day, there's still a mess in the kitchen, and I haven't dusted for a month, and there's still work that I could be doing. And so we just have to know that that is a temptation. Even those things that, you know, from a Christian perspective can look like really good stewardship of my wonderful self. You got to be realistic and know where your needs really are and where your wants are trying to take over them.
Pam, professional church work. Actually, a church will tell you. I mean, you don't have to go to a Calgon commercial. The church will tell you, if you're a good mom, you're going to be like this Dickensian mother. You're going to be able to have it all. You're actually going to be able to completely take care of all your kids, all of their needs and wants, plus volunteer at church. Mandatory volunteer at the church.
That's right. And with perfect hair and nails and all of that. And that's one of the things I have watched, observed, fought against in almost now 25 years as a deaconess. Such a sad thing for the church to put this burden on mothers, particularly who have little ones around them, guilting them down to church to be involved in things, causing them to neglect their families, their homes, their husbands. And, you know, you see the results of that, kids growing up resenting the church, not wanting anything to do with it. I think there's a healthy balance. I grew up in a home where my mother worked. She was very involved in the church. I still remember every Saturday folding bulletins and stuffing the inserts because she was the volunteer church secretary. And there was joy in that. It didn't seem like work, and we were always part of the church. But to go legalistic either way, to say, well, you should never do that, or to say you must do these things, that's to miss the point. We have freedom, and we have gifts. We have opportunities to serve. But we got to understand what our first vocation is, as wife, as mother. And then at the end of the day, do what every good Christian woman, well, not so good Christian woman, get on our knees and repent, because we mess it up. We never get it right. And that's my reality.
Sandra, you know what amazes me about my wife is, and how seldom I hear her. I mean, she does on rare occasion. But how seldom I hear her talk about the sacrifice that we've been discussing here, which I don't think is comparable to the father's sacrifice. I mean, there's sacrifice on both sides. But I think with a mother in particular, there's something about that vocation where the sacrifice is unique to it. And she could bring it up all the time. I mean, the kind of archetypal Jewish mother does, but she doesn't. It's amazing. I'm thinking to myself, this woman really does give up a lot, and very seldom reminds her kids that she does. Talk about that, Sandra.
Well, I actually don't like talking about it either, but since I was asked, I asked the question. But it's just what you do. It's not even something you really even think about a lot of the time, unless, you know, you're struggling with your own selfish desires. But you just do. And it's the main reason I don't like to talk about it is because I realize how much I don't and how much I'm putting myself first. And, you know, yeah, I really should do that extra load of laundry tonight so I can spend some more time, you know, making breakfast for my son in the morning. You know, do something like that. And there's so many ways that I could be sacrificing better. And it's so easy to turn that into a law that you need to sacrifice, and that's just what you must do. But it's something that we do enjoy, because these children have been given to us, and we get to be their mothers. And it's not something we really need to talk about all that much. You just do it, and that's kind of how vocation works. It's always present tense. You can talk about how much you want to do something, or you should do something, or you really like to do something else, but until you are actually given that vocation, there's really nothing to do.
Yeah, and vocation says, God has richly and daily provided for me all that I need in this body and life, and he's given me my neighbor, and through me, richly and daily provides for my neighbor. And as a mother, my closest neighbors are my children and my husband, my family. And I'm freed. I don't really have to worry about myself, even though the world tells me I do. I'm free to take care of them, because God's not going to let me fall and not get enough of what I need. He's there for me, providing every moment.
It's Monday afternoon, May the 10th. We want to hear from you on the challenges and joys of motherhood. Listeners with the best questions or comments, we'll get the book Mommy Promises. Our phone number on this Monday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. Email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Twitter us @issuesetc, or leave that question or comment for us at the Facebook fan page for Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our Mother's Roundtable on this Monday afternoon, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, a married mother of three children in St. Louis, senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Sandra Ostapowicz, a single mother of an 8-year-old son in Loveland, Colorado, and conference coordinator for the Lutheran youth organization Higher Things, and Rebecca Curtis, pastor's wife and mother of 5 children in Warden, Illinois.
So say you help me, mama, 'cause it's getting so hard.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Here are 2 new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Proclaiming Christ, not the Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas, Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Mommy.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes in our Mother's Roundtable, talking about the joys and challenges of motherhood. All right, let's see here. This one comes from Lisa in Canada. It's kind of a two-parter, so we'll take it in two parts. Lisa says, it's become evident to my husband and I that there is no greater way that I can spend my time and energy than to stay home with our children, raising them in the faith and building a strong family together. There are many joys that go along with that. Our small children cling to us, and we are led by Christ, are the compass that guides them. They make us smile and laugh every day, and for me, it's a real joy to watch them learn and grow each day. Now, she's got more to say, but let's respond to that to begin with.
Well, you know, I think that every day about my kids. There's such joy in watching them become the people that God is forming them into. And that's through influence of my husband and I and the rest of our family and the life that they've grown up in. But it's a daily joyful surprise to see them say something that you just didn't know they had in them, or do something, or whatever, figure something out. It's a gift, and it is something I just delight in, and I can relate to that. I have always been a working mother, and there have been times that I really wished that wasn't what it was, but I've also know that God has given our family the life that we have, and it has been rich and wonderful. And when my children have needed me, by His grace, I've been able to be there. And so it's, you know, I guess I'm always going to fight that that you have to stay home, or you should go to work. There's two things that have always fought in my ears. That's a tough one for me.
Here's this is for you, Rebecca. Again, Lisa in Canada says, motherhood is always hard work, harder than I ever expected before I became one. But for me, the biggest challenge of staying home with the kids is loneliness. There are many factors in today's society that contribute to the loneliness of a stay-at-home mom, including individualism, the general breakdown of the family, and consumerism. Of course, I'm not really alone, having Christ always by my side and having my husband and children with me so much of the time. But I feel socially isolated from the rest of the community, sometimes looked down upon because we have less money or because we're not pursuing the kind of interest that most people in our generation have, a majority of which are not very kid-friendly. Talk about the loneliness and the social isolation.
Isolation.
There we go. It finally came out. Talk about those two things, especially the stay-at-home mom.
I really resonate with that, especially I think it was hardest after our first child was born, and suddenly, you know, I had always worked and, you know, I was in college and then worked and was always left the house every day and talked to other people every day and had my life to talk about.
Grown
and suddenly,
people.
Exactly. Suddenly I'm home by myself with this tiny baby who never says anything and only cries all the time. And so not only am I alone all day, but suddenly I also have nothing to talk about with other adults because they don't want to hear about my various and extremely personal and gross hardships. And I'm like not a grown-up anymore. I'm just one of the kids. And when the grown-ups get together, well, I'm just going to be in this room with the kids because somebody's got to be and nobody else is going to do it. And I do it all the time anyway, so I might as well. And so that's, I think, where if you are blessed enough to have a good Christian husband where he can really pick up a lot of that slack and say to me, you're still a grown-up and you're still intelligent and I respect you and enjoy spending time with you. And that can really ward off the loneliness in a big way because it is difficult.
Well, and I think that's where the church can reach out to mothers instead of beckoning them away from the home and their families, but to minister to them, to care for them and to gather lonely mothers with their children, these moms groups where they can get together and play, and experienced moms can do some mentoring of new moms and praying together and sharing those daily burdens, the deep burdens, and the joys. That's a wonderful way that the church can affirm motherhood and be there for the families.
You've had kids leave the house now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, real quickly. Do you feel like I do? With kids, we're in the same position where you just feel like you're getting the swing of it. You know what, you finally know what you're doing, and then they're gone. It's like, Wait a minute, I just figured you out. Where are you going?
Well, yes. And then you get a different kind of need from them, don't you? They call up and, you know, they tell you about whatever's going on. And now you got to kind of figure this out offsite. You don't know who these people are they're talking about, you don't really know the situation. So those needs change. I'm like, oh, where did it go? They're gone, you know? And now I've got just this one and I can just see she's poised to, you know, in the next 4 years, fly the coop too. And I look forward to an empty nest, but I miss my kids and having them bop into the house.
That's what Thanksgiving's for, I guess. All right. Around real quick with each one of you, your final thoughts on the joys and challenges of motherhood, beginning with you, Rebecca.
The only person to whom I am irreplaceable, or persons, I should say, are my husband and children. And that is what I remember when I am home and alone and thinking, why did I spend all that money on a college degree? And does it matter that, you know, the most important thing I did today was plan and make supper? It is. Because anything else I was out in the world doing, someone else could do. And probably better. But I'm my kid's only mom, and I'm my husband's only wife, and it is my great blessing to be able to serve them.
Pam, your thoughts?
Wow. I don't know how you can top that. That's a beautiful insight. I just really, for me, in my life out in the world as a working mother, and you get stress and you get frustration, and you come home, and there is just such joy to come home to a family who needs you, who wants you, who loves you, and to whom you really can have an effect on by the grace of God, in the repentance, in the forgiveness, and in the just being together through their lifetime and yours. And there's nothing a greater gift on this earth, of course, besides our faith that God gives us, but to give us a family, children and husband, great joy.
And Sandra, your thoughts, final thoughts on the joys and challenges of motherhood.
There's that very common, almost cliche saying that, you know, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. This life I have now is not something I ever imagined that I would be living, that I would be on my own with a son who's been given to me by another mother, and we'd be doing what we're doing. This is not... It blows my mind all the time, and the gifts that I have been given in the way that they've been given to me that are completely unexpected and yet just amazingly wonderful at the same time. And I don't mean to end things on a down note, but I do think it's really important that we remember the mothers who, or the women who aren't mothers, who mm-hmm. want to be mothers, or for whatever reason realize that it's probably not best for them to be mothers right now. That while motherhood is such a wonderful thing, and don't get me wrong, it is, it doesn't make someone a better person, a better Christian, or a better woman to be a mother. We are all forgiven in Christ and all saved by him, regardless of our station in life and our vocations, whether we're mothers or not. We have just this extra neighbor as mothers, or extra neighbors that we have been given to take care of and to love and to raise. But Mother's Day is especially hard for those women, and I just want to make sure that we remember them as well.
Sandra Ostapowicz is a single mother of an 8-year-old son in Loveland, Colorado, conference coordinator of the Lutheran youth organization Higher Things. Sandra, thank you.
Thank you.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is a married mother of 3 in St. Louis and senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Pam, thank you.
Thank you.
And Rebecca Curtis is a pastor's wife and a mother of 5 children, the only mother they have, by the way, of those 5 children, Warden, Illinois. Rebecca, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Folks, if you've enjoyed our 2-part series on the challenges and joys of motherhood, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. The address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, or make that secure online donation, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss 5th century Bishop Cyril of Alexandria. I'll never know what it is to be one. I know what it is to have one. It's very nice to have a mother. I think, speaking now in this case only as a child of one, I can't think of anything more comforting in this world than to have parents like I have, and in particular have a mother like I have. My wife often says, why do you call your mother so often? And the only thing I can think to say is, because she's my mom. It's pretty nice if you ask me. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.